Okay. I like to go to Exodus chapter 14. And in some ways, we're continuing on, as you'll see in a moment, from where we were last week. And I know that it's all readily right there of where we were last week with you. Sure. So, but Exodus 14, I love you. I love you. I really do. And Exodus 14, and let me read here, starting with verse, let's see. Exodus 14. There we go. At verse 10. And so you know what's happening here. God has just rescued Israel from their slavery in Egypt. And all of this is metaphorical for us as well in regards to how it is that Jesus has rescued our lives, how it is that he has saved us and delivered us from so great an enemy. And so here we have the Israelites being rescued from their slavery, from their bondage in Egypt. And it says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And so even after they relented and let Israel, the Israelites go after, remember, the 10 plagues, yet Pharaoh's heart was still hardened and said, wait, what am I doing here? And losing all this forced labor, and put his army together and went after them. That's what's going on. And it says that they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. I love what this says here. It says, because they cried out to the Lord, but they said to Moses. And it's, you know, it's almost like, you know, we have that little saying about, you know, don't kill the mailman. Don't shoot the mailman, you know, for bringing the bad news. It wasn't him who delivered the bad news. And so that's what's going on here. You know, they have this sense of, well, they cried out to the Lord, but they're going to, you know, call Moses onto the carpet for, hey, what's going on here? You know, they're coming after us. We're dead meat. And it says, and this is what they said, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? I mean, you know, how things have changed in just so short of time. We people are so fickle. You know, God does us a great blessing, and the next day, you know, maybe something just doesn't go so right, and we're in God's face saying, where are you? You don't love me. Boy, oh boy, things are just, you know. And that's what was going on here, this that sort of thing. And then in verse 13, it says, Moses answered the people, and he says, don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Don't you like that word? What a good word. And you have to get the picture, because you say, what are these people feeling? What are they seeing? Well, what they're seeing is this, that there's no way out. Because Pharaoh and his army is coming behind them to round them up and bring them back to Egypt. And in front of them is the Red Sea. So it's like they're sandwiched in between, you know, you talk about being in between a rock and a hard place. It's like there's no way out. How do we do this type of thing? And Moses says to them, stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord, where am I here? Deliverance will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again, so on. And then I want to read from verse 15 of the King James. Just want to capture something here. And the Lord, then the Lord speaks to Moses. And he says, and the Lord says, why are you crying to me? And it's almost like the Lord says, is there a problem here? Is there a problem here? And it's like, let's see, Pharaoh, the Red Sea, God, you know. And you had to, what you have to realize is that He who rescued them out of Egypt had a plan to bring them to the promised land. And so he says to them, what are you crying about? Then he says these words, and I want you to feel this. He says, say to the children of Israel, go forward. What's he say to them? Go forward. Now, it's like Moses says, okay, everybody, go forward. Moses, you know, we haven't heard yet about walking on water. That's not until Jesus comes. You know, did we even know about that sort of thing, right? And so, once again, he says, go forward. We got to get that. Then the Lord says to Moses, tell the, in my, the NIV it says, move on. And then you know what happens. Moses raises his staff, right? He parts the water, and they go across on dry land in the same water that God parted to make a way for them to get to the other side. He uses to stop the enemy that was pursuing them as well. And off they go. Go forward. Pray with me. Father, as we consider this word in all that it represents, help us to get a picture of what's going on here and how it is that you are moving your people from one place to another until their destiny was fulfilled. I pray you speak to us by your Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. And so this morning I want to talk to us about how, you know, how to go forward when it's not convenient to do so. How to go forward when it's not convenient to do so. Now, let me just talk about it for a little while first. You've probably heard the saying, and maybe you even said it yourself. You know, it's like, what do we mean when we hear or we have said ourselves, I don't do windows? Now, you ever hear that saying, right? I don't do windows. And, you know, the idea is that, well, you know, I'm comfortable with this, I'm comfortable with that, but, you know, there's just something that's out of my comfort zone. I'm just not, I don't do windows, sorry. And we have to say that there's something going on here in this passage of Scripture that was a little inconvenient for these people as they were facing these difficulties, something a little inconvenient about the situation. And God is taking us somewhere. God is taking you somewhere in your life. And when we see this picture of how it is that God is taking the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land, so it is in our lives in coming to Christ. God has a destiny for each one of us. He's bringing us someplace. He rescued us out of that he might bring us into. And we see that kind of thing over and over again, especially with the children of Israel. Jesus himself said, follow me. Follow me. Now, when he said, go forward to the children of Israel, there was something that was a little inconvenient about it. Jesus said, follow me, right? Follow me. Because the whole idea, if you ever thought about it, if it dawns on you, follow me because I have some place to bring you. I have some place to take you. So follow me. And one of the places follow me shows up in is in something a little bit inconvenient because he says, take up your cross and follow me. Now, how inconvenient is that? You know, take up your cross and follow me. Little inconvenience there. Now, last week, we talked about what spiritual growth is. How it is that God's intention with God's intention in our lives is to bring us to where into what he has always intended us to be. That's God's purpose for our lives. Now, that's big. And I don't want to get into some of the details of what that is, because I want to focus on the inconvenience of it all at this point. The inconvenience of it all. But spiritual growth. And we talked about, in particular, how that spiritual growth happens in community. Outside of community, you don't grow very much. Yeah. It's easy to have the perfect marriage if you're not married. I mean, it's easy. Yeah, I got the perfect marriage. Well, you know, how long you been married? Well, you know, I'm not married yet, but I'm looking, you know, well, it's ridiculous. And it's easy to have all the fruit of the Spirit in your life, be Christ-like, and all of those things, but and not be in relationship to anybody else. Well, that's easy. You know, that's easy to be that. But it's when we're in community. And it's when we're in community and working together, as we talked about last week, that growth really happens in our lives. You know, we grow up then. And so going where God is taking us, that is to say following Jesus or growing spiritually, will challenge your zone of comfort. Certainly, Israel, when you read the account of them leaving Egypt, got pretty excited. God rescued them, performed in tremendous miracles in getting them out of there. And then they're between a rock and a hard place. They're in a pinch, so to speak. Their comfort zone is invaded, and they begin to have some problems with the inconvenience of it all. And here's the thing about making progress. Here's the thing about making progress in your life and in mine, about in growing. You know, growing and becoming what God has always intended us to be. It's often inconvenient. Often. You know, there are inconveniences that come up. And so, you know, I have my zone of comfort. You know, I have those areas of my life where I'll say to God, you know, God, I just don't do windows. Sorry. God, you can go there. You can go there. You know, I'll allow this to happen in my life, then I'll work on it. But, oh, God, you know, just I keep him at bay there. Now, I have found in my 40-plus years of walking with Jesus, over four decades of walking with Jesus, that God is hard to live with. He expects me to do all the changing. And we have to see that's what he's after in our lives more than anything. And change is more often than not hard to come by, because in as much as you say, well, you know, I love change. You know, it's like I like it too until I have to. You know what I'm saying? I like change until I have to change. Then I have a problem with it. You know? I don't mind praying that God changes Sandra, because, you know, heaven knows. Or that God would change you. And it's hard to come by. And it's what I want to focus on here for a couple of minutes is because we don't like to be inconvenienced. We just don't like to be. You know? So I come home, I put the clothes in the wash machine, because I walk in to our laundry room. It's late. I said, I got to throw these in the wash machine. Go upstairs. It gets later. Watching the news, watching Jeopardy, enjoying. Wash machine's done. Oh, Sandra, you know, it's time to put the clothes from the washer in the in the dryer. Go ahead. I'll let you. You know? Because it's a major inconvenience for me. Now, you know, I'm in my comfort zone to have to go downstairs and do that. Right?
Well, you, could
build a you know? You could. But get the point. You know, and that's just a silly little thing of, you know, none of us like to be inconvenienced. You know? And you don't grow, we don't grow as a church unless we get out of our comfort zone. Yeah. When you look at, again, Israel, you know, facing the Red Sea, you say, now think of it for a moment. They wanted to go back into slavery. Why? Think about it. God rescued them. Miracles happened in their rescue. They're now in a pinch. They're out of their comfort zone. You talk about it, a big inconvenience standing in front of them in the Red Sea. They cry out. They're complaining, and they say, oh, how good we had it back in Egypt. Why? That was part of their what? Comfort zone. Now God says, but I want to do something in your life. I have some place that I'll follow me. Some place where I want to take you to. See? And what it's going to require for you to get there are many inconveniences along the way. Are you with me? Sure. And so, like Israel, our adventure of following Jesus is quickly met with inconveniences. Well, I can come up with a pretty long list of the times that I felt like they did. Where I felt, you know, it's like you hear, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, and woo-hoo. And then you read down a little bit further and take up your cross and follow me, and it's like, ooh. And they had a vivid picture, that is to say, the Roman Empire provided Jesus' followers with a vivid picture of what it meant to take up your cross, because they saw the Roman government crucifying criminals all around them. Take up, what do you mean, Jesus? You know, what are you after here in my life? You know, you mean to say there's something that I have to die to? You know, he says, yeah, that's why I bring the inconveniences up in your life. And it requires a cross. This is a happy message. This is a happy message. Okay, let me wind it down and bring it home. Can I bring this home now? Let's bring it on home. I do so well preaching these days because the time just seems to go slowly by. And so here's the thing. common to all adventures are inconveniences, okay? In fact, it's the inconveniences, if I can say it again, different way, that make an adventure an adventure. You know, have you ever, you know, done something, maybe a camping trip or some kind of travel or some kind of experience, and something goes wrong from a flat tire, you know, and then you're out changing the tire and it starts to rain and people go by and splash you, beep the horn, and they're not saying hi, I hope you make out okay. And you know, when it's all said, that you get home, or you know, you're in a group of people later on and you start recounting what happened. And when you recount it, it's like, ooh, what an adventure. I don't want to relive that, but ooh, wow, what, you know, and you start telling the details, you know, of that kind of thing. It's the inconveniences that make an adventure. Some of you heard the name Chesterton. In fact, he said, an adventure is only an inconvenience rightly considered. And so that our inconveniences, to us, they're pesty. You know, to us, they're an interruption. To us, they're obstacles, if you will, you know, seemingly to get where we want to go. But you know, it's like the mountain climber who at the base of the mountain looks up, and as he looks up, he sees an outcropping. He sees a crevice. He sees all these things that, from his vantage point looking up, look like obstacles to his ascent. When in fact, when he begins to climb and gets there to what he thought was an outcropping that would be an obstacle blocking his passage to the top, becomes the very thing that helps him get to the top. It's all inconveniences are only an adventure rightly considered. And these inconveniences are a part of God's plan for our lives, part of God's plan for the adventure to help you and me to grow. To grow up in Christ, to grow up as human beings created in His image. Common to all adventures. And so, now, what helps us to endure the inconvenience and grow through it? I want to just give you three things that are going to help us with the inconvenience that we are about to face when we continue with our sanctuary project and renovate this room. It's going to be a big inconvenience. How many of you have done remodeling in your house? Was it a happy time? You know? Oh, boy. How many of you watch that show on, what is it, DIY, where, you know, the homeowners, they should never try picking up a hammer, some of them, dangerous people. But, you know, they start out all happy and excited, what we're going to do, you know. And before you know it, they're using the hammer on each other. And there are, you know, if you've done a project, you know that, you know, the honeymoon of the excitement of, you know, well, what we're doing here is over within about 3 hours. And it's like, oh no, what have we gotten ourselves into, you know? And so if you would apply these next three things to what I'm about, you know, to say, to the inconvenience and the growth and the adventure of what we're about to embark in the renovation that we have planned in our sanctuary project. Okay? Bringing it home. Here's the first one. You ready? In all of these, you know, each one of these I'm drawing out right from the text of Scripture as I see how Israel had to move to do what? Go forward. See, unless you go forward, forget about it. There's no growth. Standing still produces nothing. No movement. You know? Oh, but I like it like this. Why upset the apple cart? You know? Well, because you don't grow that way. You don't reach what God has for you if you stay where you are. You know, have you ever been friends with somebody and they challenge you so much that you said, forget it. You know, they're off my friend list. I'm defriending them. You know, challenge me too much. Okay, so what helps us to endure and to see it through and to grow by? Here's the first one. The first one is the excitement of seeing what a little inconvenience will bring us in the end. So the idea is, you know, being able to see the end to where we're going. That, you know, God kept on saying, listen, I'm bringing you to the promised land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, you know. So the whole idea of it's going to be good. It's going to be real good. There's going to be houses there already built for you that you didn't build. Can you imagine? He says, this is the promised land. And so God kept on reinforcing that in them because he wanted to create that kind of excitement within them to have a picture of where they were going, so that when the inconveniences come up, like of, you know, being hungry and not having food, you know the story of Israel, and I don't want to get into all of that, but the idea is that, man, when you keep your eye on the prize, it's no different than, you know, take the whole arena of sports. You know, what is it that keeps an Olympic athlete, you know, week after week in the harness of training hard? What is it? Well, you know, I'm doing this because I'm going for the bronze. You talk to any Olympic athlete, even if they know, you know, that, you know, have a true assessment of what they're at, they're still, their eye is on the what? I'm going for the gold. And that motivates them. That puts fuel in their tank to do whatever it's, you know, for all the inconveniences of the getting up early in the morning, right? You know, what all those things that athletes do, all the inconveniences, and it creates a passion to get there. And boy, I can say an awful lot about that passion and how it is that God has to restore in us a passion for what's near and dear to his heart and what he has given to us in Christ, that so often begins to become dormant and lifeless in our lives because we have filled our hearts with a passion for other things. And we'll sacrifice for those things. We'll give our money, our time for those things. We think of nothing of the inconveniences for those things. But oh, that this vision of what God has for our lives, that it overtakes us. And isn't it true, if you have that kind of excitement, what's a little inconvenience? What is it that keeps marriages strong? Husband and wives strong, you know? And it's like, you know, how does that go? You know, it's like any marriage more than a week old, you know, you can find grounds for divorce. The trick is to find grounds for marriage. If there's a love there, you know, that love, that excitement of that love, well, what's that inconvenience, you know? So, I mean, Sandra snores and keeps me awake most of the night. It's not grounds for divorce. It is grounds for leaving, going onto the couch. It's the other way around, folks. So, the excitement. You got that one? Here's the next one. The next one is this. What helps me to endure the inconvenience? What's going to help us to endure the inconvenience? See, let me get back to this first one, the nail at home. The excitement of seeing, to be able to see, wow, you know what? Like up on the roof, I was up there. I was up there while they were doing it, rejoicing. I was. Because it's like God's house is snapping too. Man, it was the Lord who gave this church this property. It was the Lord who gave this church, by church I mean you people, us people, we people, there we go, this building. He put his name here. He said, I want this to be a church in Wolcott. And man, when they were ripping off the plywood because it was rotted, I was like, get that out of here, thank God, putting down the new plywood. Come on. You know? I'm telling you, an excitement. Taking care, and being it because I'm able to see where we're going. Being able to see the flip-flop, a new door here coming in. Eventually, a new addition on the back. Now, a new door here coming in, the platform up there, you know? And all this all new, and the wainscoting, and the lights, in the hot tub, and it just you know, joking, and you know, all and the new seats and the new carpet and the new windows and the new steeple, you know, and lighted, and the lighted cross, and a new sign out there, and people driving by now, and now instead of not noticing us, at least they see, wow, there's a church there. It fills me with excitement. You know, it fills me with excitement. Let's go do this. Give me a hammer, somebody. Okay. Here's the next one. The next one is, what happens? What helps us to endure? What helps us to endure is this. The Christ-like qualities I didn't know I had come out within me. In other words, it's God's design for the inconvenience to bring out his best in me. Now, the devil designs to bring out the worst in us. But it's God's design, and these kinds of things that happen. Okay, you know, we got inconveniences. We're going to have to do service downstairs for a little while because we got to gut this. Oh, the inconvenience of it, you know. Where's the worship team? How are we going to fit down there? All this, you know. Well, it's like, why don't we, you know, instead of moaning and groaning and complaining, and I'm not at all suggesting that never anything cannot be challenged, talked about, discussed, or criticized. Heavens, no. Not setting that up at all. At the same time, or that I can't be challenged. At the same time, what I'm saying is that the inconveniences that we go through, even as a people, even as a church, God wants to use those for his best to come out in my life, Christ-like qualities. Yeah. You never know that you had an opportunity. You never know that you had the potential within you to be patient if you're not put in a situation where you are what? Impatient. And so it works with every other quality. And as often as we go away from situations having failed, I believe that we can go, God continues to bring us around to that same inconvenience because his design is that we pass the test. The last one is this. How do we endure inconveniences and grow through the inconvenience? We see that the opportunity that an inconvenience gives, we see that the opportunity of inconvenience gives me an occasion to believe God for miracles. To believe God for miracles. Listen, he still parts the Red Sea. If you're not put between a rock and a hard place, how do you know he can get you out of it? How do you experience the miracle? He makes a way where there is no way. If you're never in a situation where it seems like there's no way out, how do you know? He gives us. He makes a way where there is no way. So when I'm faced with an inconvenience and the inconvenience is as posing, is as daunting as a Red Sea in front of me, it gives me an opportunity to believe God for a miracle. Plain and simple. I'm going to believe God for a miracle. When's the last time you believed God for a miracle? When's the last time I believed God for a miracle? And so, this is what inconveniences do for us. And these are going to be some of the inconvenient challenges that we're going to face. You know? And because it's like, you know, we don't have another church we can go to while we're remodeling this. But we do have downstairs. We do have downstairs. And I think it'd be exciting. I think it's going to be cozy down there. Thank you. It's going to be cozy. You know, I've already taken some measurements and we've looked at it. We're going to look at it some more. It's just the kitchen is right there. We'll have a coffee going if you want. And it feel like we have more people than we do? Because less chairs.
There you go.
But then the excitement of, wow, what are we doing with this, you know? And don't lose sight of the fact that we're fixing lots of stuff. We're fixing lots of stuff, you know. And, you know, it's like, well, what did you fix in the roof? All the plywood was rotten on this side, was bad. It was gone. We fixed it. And other things that we're finding, you know, and like I say, you know the drill. But I'm just, you know, my heart as pastor this morning was just to set us up to succeed, not to fail. You understand? To set us up to succeed, because it will be an inconvenience for us. It really will be. And in some way, well, you know, when you walk in, you don't have to come up the stairs. You can come right in and be right downstairs for a little while. And you say, how long will it be? Oh, not long. How long will we have to be meeting down? Not long. Just not long. How many of you saw the movie Money Pit? You saw the movie Money Pit? What was the contractor's famous last words? 2 weeks. Pastor, how long is it going to take? 2 weeks. Come on, folks, come on. Come on. 2 weeks, exactly, 2 weeks, you know. And, you know, and I you know, in this message also, I try to balance it between, you know, speaking to you in your own life, in your own growth, right, and how it is that God uses inconveniences in your life, in mind, and how as we grow by them, to balance it with speaking to us as a church and then applying it to where we are as a church right now about to face the inconvenience of a remodel. You hear my heart as pastor? I'm talking straight. Am I not? You know? And so, yeah, that's where we're at. Sandra's going to be coming up, but we'll pray. She's going to be coming up any minute with the kids, and we're going to hear from our kids, okay? I will say I was very pleased with the contractor who did our roof, the outstanding workmanship. I was here for almost every minute of it. And they were from Ecuador. The actual workers were from Ecuador, so I was able to practice my Spanish with them. The Spanish they speak in Ecuador can be a little bit different. A couple of times they looked at me like, "What did you say?" Only one guy spoke English out of the four or five of them, and his English wasn't, you know, all that good. So, but I had a good chance to practice my Spanish with them, and so I'm happy. And we got a number of things on tap. Cool. How many of you enjoy the inconveniences that God brings in your life? You enjoy them, you know? Yeah, you know. Come on, inconveniences, you know. Inconveniences. I mean, who likes inconveniences? You know, none of us. But if you can really see that it's an it could be an adventure. Yeah. Could be an adventure. You know. I remember when Sandra and I'm just talking because Mike, maybe you can go down and let her know, because she's supposed to be up by now. Sandra and I, when we drove down to Mexico for the first time to live there, I took a wrong exit and found myself in St. Louis with the Arches. And we weren't supposed to go down real quick, just, you know, see him in a distance, you know. And it's like then I drove through John Hopkins, you know, university and hospital and whatever. And it's like, well, you know, that was an adventure. You know, the inconvenience of having to circle around, but it was an adventure. I got to see John Hopkins. Have you been to John Hopkins? Yeah. I can say, yeah. I can say, yeah, I've been there, you know.